All right, Rabbi, say good morning. So today's daf is Ayin Zayin. We are going to begin at the top of Ayin Zayin, the Mishnah. So it says in the Mishnah, Bas Chalal Zachar Psos. So we're going to deal a little bit more with some of the Yichus issues. So says the Mishnah, Bas Chalal Zachar, the daughter of a male Chalal Psula Min HaKunah, is not permitted to marry into the Kunas. Remember again, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the definition of a Chalal is, but for our purposes right now, we understand that it's the product of a forbidden Kohanic union. So the daughter of a male Chalal is herself not permitted to marry into the Kohuna forever. Now we'll say forever, we'll see what forever actually means. Yisrael shenasa Chalala, similarly if Yisrael marries a Chalala, bito ksher la Kohuna, their daughter is permitted to marry into the Kohuna. Chalal shenasa bas Yisrael, if a Chalal married a bas Yisrael, bito psu la Kohuna. Ultimately, again, his daughter is prohibited from the kahuna. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bas Ger Zohar, the daughter of a male Ger, Kibas Chalal Zohar, is like a daughter of a male Chalal. And I will say now, what does that mean? So remember again, just like we've established that Bas Chalal Zohar, the daughter of a male Chalal, is going to be possible, so too again, the daughter of a male Ger will also be possible, the kahuna, means she came married to the kahuna. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer, Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Yisrael shenasa giyores bito ksher l'kuhuna. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that a Yisrael who married a giyores, a convert, their daughter is permitted to marry into the kuhuna. And I will say, we saw this already in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that l'maisa, again, as long as there is one Jewish parent, meaning naturally born Jewish parent, ultimately, the offspring can marry into the kuhuna. That's Rabbi Eliezer. We see others disagree with that. So on the other hand, the ger shenasa bas Yisrael, similarly again, if you have a convert that married a bas Yisrael, bito ksher l'kuhuna. Ultimately, again, their offspring is permitted to marry into the kuhuna. So again, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Shita is, as long as one of the parents is Jewish from birth, even if the other is a convert, the offspring is permitted to marry into the kuhuna. Aval ger shenasa giyores. But if you have a ger that who married a giyores, bito psula kuhuna, then ultimately again the daughter is prohibited to marry into the kuhuna. Echad ger ve'echad avadim mishuchrarim, whether it's a ger or whether it's an emancipated servant, afilu ad yud doros, even for 10 generations, ad shetehei imo mi Yisrael. So now says the Mishnah that ultimately again, whether we're talking about a ger, whether it's about an evad mishuchrar, even 10 generations later, the child, the offspring, is only permitted to marry into the kuhuna once there is what we'll call a natural-born Jewish mother. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afker Shinasa Giyores, Bitok Shel Kuhuna. Rabbi Yossi comes along, we'll have to explore the Shita. He says, even if a ger married a giyores, the offspring is still permitted to marry into the kuhuna. Says the Gemara, May the Olam. So remember again, the Mishnah began with a statement of Bas Chalal Zachar, Psula min HaKuhuna li'olam, which means the daughter of a male Chalal is prohibited from marrying into the Kahuna forever. So asks the Gemara, Mai li'olam, what does that mean forever? So the Gemara says, Mao detema, what would I have thought? Mi di dahava am mitzri ve'edomi. I would have thought that maybe the case of Chalal is like the case of Mitzri and Edomi. We'll say, what's the halacha of Mitzri and Edomi? Ma lahalan la'achar shlosha doros. Just like Mitzri and Edomi, ultimately, again, are permitted after 3 generations. In other words, we'll say they are limited in terms of who they can marry for those first 3 generations. But after 3 generations, they are permitted to marry into the general Jewish pool. Afkan nami la'achar shlosha doros. So I would have thought also chalalus ends after 3 generations. Kamash malon that is not the case. Yisrael shenasa chalala. So if Yisrael marries a chalala, so this is the next case. The halach of Mishnah said that if Yisrael marries a chalala, their daughter is ksheira l'kuhuna. Says the Gemara, Menahani Mili, how do I know that if Yisrael marries a chalala, that chalalos does not pass on to their daughter? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bishimon, Ne'emar kan, v'lo yichalel zaro ba'amav. It says over here that he shall not profane, the coin shall not profane his offspring. V'ne'emar lahalon, lo yitama bal ba'amav. And it says over here, ultimately, that a man shall not go ahead and become impure. Baba amav. This is talking about by the inability or by the prohibition for a coin to become tummy for certain mason. Ma lahalon zucharim alone kevos. Just like by tumah, the laws of tumas kohanim only applies to who? To zucharim and kevos, to men and not women. In other words, we will say there is no prohibition on a kohenes to go to a funeral, to go to a cemetery, to come in contact with a mace. It's only on the male kohanim. This is, by the way, this was last week's parasha. Emar la kohanim b'nei Aaron. So Rashi already quotes the Gemara, b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. So just like when it comes to the tumah, it only applies to the men. V'lo nekevos afkan. So too, I would say, by halalus zicharim v'lo nekevos. The problem is only where? The problem is only if the man is a chalal, that passes down the chalalos to his children. But if the woman is a chalala, that will not pass down the chalalos to their children. Elameata, well, if that's the case, we'll say, so now what you're telling me is that the only real problem is where the man has the psul, where the man has the problem, the man has the chalal status, that's when the chalalos gets passed down ultimately to his daughter. But if the woman is a chalala, then ultimately it will not. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, what you're really telling me is that the psulim only apply to the men and not the women. But if that's the case, Bito shall Kohen Gadol Tishteri. If that's the case of Osai, then the daughter of a Kohen Gadol. Rashi points out over here, Bito shall Kohen Gadol Min Ha'amana Tishteri Duham Rina Nekevos Mutaros. If you tell me that the psulim don't apply to women, if that's the case, then Lamaisa, when a Kohen Gadol has a child with an Amana, Rabosai, again, in that case, the Chalal designation should not pass down to the daughter, to which the Gemara says, no, that's already an exaggerated approach. Miksiv bino, does it say, lo yichalel bino? No, it says, zarok siv, lo yichalel zaro ba'amav. Both said, at the end of the day, clearly there's the ability for the Kohen, if he himself commits the infraction, to go ahead and create chalolos even for a daughter. So that's understood. The shayla, well, not the shayla, the issue that the Gemara is dealing with over here, is once somebody is already a psul, so their ability to pass down that psul to the next generation. Now what the Gemara is suggesting is, the only way that the psul, let's say, of chalolos gets passed down is if it comes from the father, not from the mother. But in terms of creating the ikar chalal, of course a kohen, if he marries or if he has relations with a woman who's prohibited to him, will create chalalos in a girl as well, to which the Gemara says, if that's the case, well, using that logic, bas bino tishteri, I'm sorry, elameata, bito shal kohen gadol tishteri. Well, if that's the case again, then the daughter of the kohen gadol should become mutaris as well. Miksiv bino, zaroksiv, lo yichalel zaro ba'amav. Okay, so says the Gemara again. Gemara is asking just the same question. Bas bino tishteri. So we'll say, so why don't I ask about the daughter of his daughter? She should also be permitted. Rashi says, bas bino. Bas bino chalal tishteri. So ultimately, the daughter of his daughter, his granddaughter, who's a chalala, should also be permitted. Because, again, because the chalalos doesn't pass down to the girl. To which the Gemara says, therefore the pasuk says he shall not profane his offspring. Makish zaro lo. The Torah compares his offspring to him, the Kohen. Mahu bito psula. Just like the Kohen himself has the ability to create a daughter whose pasul. Af bino bito psula. So too, ultimately, again, the son of his daughter also has the ability to become pasul. Bas bito tisar. Bas bito tisar. Im kain, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, so why should we say, so if that's the case, then the daughter of his daughter should become asura as well. To which the Gemara says, im kain gzira shava maya hanile. If that's the case, Rabosai, that you want to say his granddaughter, who's the result ultimately again of his halala daughter marrying a Yisrael, should become psula as well, then what good has the gzira shava done for me? So bottom line, it supports the position of the Mishnah, namely that halacha lemaisa, again, in the event that a halal marries a bas Yisrael, that chalalos passes down. But in the event that a Yisrael marries a chalala, that chalalos will not pass down to their children, based on the gzeres hakos rashtei and the gzeres shava, between lo yichalel zaro and by tumah. Just like ultimately tumah only applies to the men and not the women, so too, when it comes to the passing down of chalalos, it only applies to the men and not the women. In other words, it's only a male chalal that can pass down chalalos to the next generation, but a female cannot. Chalal shenasa bas Yisrael bito psula. If a chalal married a bas Yisrael, their daughter is pasul. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hatana l'resha. You already said this in the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, bas chalal zachar. Psula milakuna, meaning the Olam, you already made this in the beginning of the Mishnah, that the daughter of a chalal, meaning, or I should say, a chalal who marries a Yisraelis, their daughter ultimately is Psula Liolam. So why do you have to repeat it again? To which the Gemara says, I did the Tani Reisha, Yisrael Shenasa Chalala, so Tani Nami Seifa Chalal Shenasa Bas Yisrael. To which the Gemara answers, it's just simply for Mishnaic symmetry. That just because, since the beginning of the Mishnah talked about a Yisrael that married a Chalala, we ultimately went ahead and just included the case of a Chalal Shemeh who married a Bas Yisrael. Okay. To which the Gemara says, Masnisin Delok Rabbi Dostoy. Ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not reflect the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dostoy Ben Yehuda. Why? This sign Rabbi Dostoy Ben Yehuda Omer, Kishem Shebene Yisrael Mikvatara Lachalalos. Rabbi Ben Dostoy Ben Yehuda says the following, the same way that Bnei Yisrael are a mikvah tara lechalos. So what does that mean? The same way that if a chalala marries a Yisrael, their offspring are totally fine. Meaning that, we just said that before, that chalalos does not get passed down to their children. Kach benos Yisrael, mikvah tara lechalalim. So here's what's interesting. Everyone agrees on that first statement, namely, that if you have a Yisrael who marries a chalala, everyone agrees that the chalolos does not get passed down to the children. That's based on the psukim we just said before. Rabbi Dostoy is of the opinion that it works both ways. In other words, that even if you have a chalol who married a Bas Yisrael, so that marriage to a Bas Yisrael purifies the offspring as well. That's Rabbi Dostoy's opinion, clearly at odds with the Mishnah. Kach benos Yisrael mikvatar lechalolim. So my time is Rabbi Dostoy. Where does Rabbi Dostoy get this from? That if a chalol marries a Bas Yisrael, the offspring Ark Sherim, Amrakra, the Pasik says, Lo Yechalel Zaro Ba'amov. Literally, his offspring shall not be tainted or shall not be profaned. Ba'amov literally means in his nation. Ba'am Echad Hu Demechel, Bishnei Amimim Eino Miyachal. But Rabbi Dostoy holds that the only way to make another Chalal is how? Is if two Chalalim reproduce. So if two chalalim have children, that's how you perpetuate chalalos. But if one of the parents is not a chalal, and he's dashing over here, lo yichalal zaro ba'amav, the only way to profane the offspring, in other words, the only way to perpetuate chalalos is if it's ba'amav. If the two people who are marrying are the same, i.e. they're both chalalim, but if one of them ultimately is a kasher, and according to Rabbi Dostoy, it doesn't matter who the kasher is. It doesn't matter if the kasher is the father or the mother, as long as one of them is kasher, ultimately, again, the children will not be chalolim. To which the Gemara says, Tan Rabban lo yichalal zaro. The Pasuk says, you shall not profane your offspring. Aim me ela zaro. I only know the offspring. He asks Mami Nine. I will say, now the Gemara is asking a very interesting question. So here's what I know. I know that if a Kohen goes ahead and has relations with a woman who he is not permitted to marry, that offspring is a chalol. But I'll say, how do I know that the woman herself becomes a chalala as well? Meaning it's not just the offspring, she herself becomes a chalala. How do I know that? To which the Gemara says, Amrit Kal v'chomer. Well, maybe you'll say it's a Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Mazaro shelo avra aveira mischalo. Say if the offspring, which did, meaning the child didn't do anything wrong, but yet the child becomes a chalal, he sha avra aveira ina din she mischalalas, then she herself who didn't aveira, certainly she should have become a chalala. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why that Kal v'chomer doesn't make sense. Because who atzmo yochiach? Because the man himself could disprove this Kal v'chomer. How so? Sha'avar aveira, because the man committed an aveira. Ve'ein mischala. Both say, no, the halacha is that if a Kohen goes ahead and, let's say, bears a child with the grusha, with the divorcee. So both say, so the offspring is a chalal. The Gemara wants to suggest that if the offspring which didn't do anything is a chalal, then what? Certainly the woman who did something, who did a ma'isa aveira, is a chalala as well. To which the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why it doesn't make sense. Because the man, the Kohen, who also did an Aveira, nothing happens to him, right? Remember, he gets an Aveira, but he doesn't become a Chalal. So again, so that logic, the Gemara says, doesn't seem to hold water, to which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, that's not necessarily a good raya, because at the end of the day, remember, the Kohen himself never becomes a chalal, right? Meaning that's not part of the framework. A woman, on the other hand, can become a chalala. And maybe you'll say, maybe you'll want to say, well, the Pasuk says, lo yichalal zaro. Well, say, so remember, lo yichalal zaro seems to be an explicit proof that what? That it's only the offspring who becomes chalalim, but ultimately the woman herself does not become a chalala, to which the Gemara says, lo yichulal. You could also read lo yichalal as lo yichulal. Well, say, what does lo yichulal mean? Ze shahaya kasher v'nischalel. This refers ultimately again to someone who was kosher and then became a chalel. So what's what the Gemara is just suggesting is lo yichalel zaro could be vocalized as lo yichulal. And lo yichulal is a lashon that means that someone who was kosher should not become profaned, which would seem to refer to who? Which would seem to refer ultimately again to the woman. So the Gemara says, "My nafshecha lomar." Why does the Gemara add in that phrase, "im nafshecha lomar"? V'chitema ikalim mifrach, because maybe you could ask Kapircha, "Malazarosh kin yitzirasa ba'avera." Because I would have thought maybe the reason the child ultimately becomes a chalal is because why? Because the child was conceived in sin, right? The child is the result of a sinful union. Therefore, Amar Kra lo yichalel, lo yichalel. Therefore, the pasuk is lo yichalel, which can be read as lo yichulal. Zeh shaya kasha v'nischalel refers to someone who was kasher at one point in time and then became a chalala, i.e. the woman. Tan Rabbanon, Ezuhi chalala. Both say, what is a chalala? And both say, you know, that's we pass at the end of the day that a woman does have the ability to become a chalala as well. So Tan Rabbanon, Ezuhi chalala. So what is a chalala? So we'll say, so now we're actually asking a definition. What is a chalal? Which sounds a little bit interesting that we're asking now what definition of chalal is we're dealing with since the beginning of this parak. Okay. Ezuhi chalala. Kol shenolda min apsulim. Anyone who is the product of a forbidden union. So the Gemara says, my psulim. So what does that mean? Ilema psulim lo. So maybe you'll say that it refers to any union that's prohibited to me. So for example, maybe any prohibited union for me, for the individual, produces a chalal. So the Gemara says, well, that's not true because hare machzir grushaso dipsulo lo ubanakshir. So let's take the following case. The halacha is if a man divorces his wife and then she subsequently marries someone else, divorces that second husband, the first husband is not permitted to remarry her. It's not halacha. If you divorce your wife and she doesn't remarry, you can remarry her, but if she's been remarried to someone in the interim, you cannot remarry her again. So the Gemara says over here, but let's say you did. Let's say you did. So you violated a very you did. So remember, we paskin that kiddushi tofsim mechayvei lavin, which means that marriages that are only prohibited by a lav, they work. It's usher, but they work. So let's say now Reuven remarries his divorcee after she's been married to Shimon. So what's the halacha? The children are not chalolim, right? The children are perfectly fine. So the Gemara says the psulolo ubaner ksherim dichsev toevahi. Torah says it's an abomination. He toeva. What she and he are doing is an abomination. Ve'in baneha toevim. But ultimately, again, her children are not abominations. In other words, so you see from here that what? That the definition of a chalal cannot simply be the product of a prohibited union. Because here's an example of a prohibited union, and yet the children are totally fine. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda Achi Kamar, Ezvei chalala, what is a chalala? Kol shenoldalo min psul kuhuna. Oh, a chalal will say is any child that is born in a forbidden Kohanic union. So anyone whom a Kohen is not permitted to marry and he does, that offspring ultimately is a chalal. To which the Gemara says, nolde in, lo nolde lo. So what that sounds like is what? That chalalus is only created if there is a child who is born. But if a child is not born, then no chalalus is created. Hari, it's not necessarily true. Because that's what we just spoke about before. Hari, amanu grusha zona, delo nolda, v'kahavi chalal. But also we know it's not true. Because after all, if a Kohen has relations with a woman whom he is not permitted to marry, that woman becomes a chalala as well, even though what? She's, so to speak, not been birthed. So chalalus could take effect on someone even if they're already alive. Amrav Achi, this is what it means to say. Ezo chalala ma ezo chalala muskeres shelo hayala shas hakosher klal. What is the case of chalalus that was mentioned that never was, who was never a permitted individual? In other words, who is the chalal that we mentioned who's always been a chalal? Kol shenolda min psul kuhuna. It's any person who was born as a result of a psul kuhuna. Any person who was born ultimately, again, from a forbidden Kohanic union. My muskeres. Why does the Gemara throw in that lashon of muskeres? Remember, Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Avin Hachi Kamar Ezuhi Chalala Sheikra Midivrei Torah VeInTarach LaFarish Divrei Sofrim. What is the paradigmatic case, the biblically paradigmatic case of Chalal, which does not need any further interpretation or clarification by the rabbis? Kol Shenolda Min Psulei Kuhuna. Ultimately, again, anyone who was born of Psulei Kuhuna. Fine. So we'll say, so therefore, bottom line, we knew this already, but the Havamina was that maybe a Chalal is the status attached to any child born of a forbidden union. Kamashmala, no. The status of Chalal ultimately is only for someone only for someone who is born from a prohibited Kohanic union. Tan Rabbanon, Almana, 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 Eino Chayv Ala Achos. We're going to clarify what these cases are. So if a man had relations with an Almana, and Almana, and Almana. This is a Kohen, I'm sorry, Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol had relations with an Almana, Almana, Almana. We don't know what that means yet, we'll define it. He's only Chayv once. Grusha, Grusha, Grusha. Similarly, if he has relations with a Grusha, 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 he's only Chayv once. However, Almana Grusha Chalala Bezona, busy day. But if he goes ahead and he has relations with an Almana, a Grusha, a Chalala, and a Zona, then what? Then, Bizman Shehem Keseder, when these prohibitions ultimately again are in order, then Chayiv Alkol Achas V'Achas, then ultimately again he's Chayiv for every single one, every single prohibition. However, Zinsa V'Nischa, so we'll say, so now here's what we do know. This last case over here, of Almana Grusha Chalala Zona, is speaking about one woman who has all of these designations. So the Gemara is saying, what the Gemara is saying over here is that if the Kohen has relations with this one woman who has all of these designations, he's chayiv for each of these prohibitions, even though it's one act of bia. Now, I will say, now the idea over here, the Gemara just says, is that's only if she acquired these statuses consecutively, the way that they're spelled out over here in the Torah. However, the Gemara says, however, Zinsa, Beneschalala, Beneskarsha, Beneshamala, but if the order's changed, in other words, she first became a Zona, then a Chalala, then she was Niskarsha, then she was divorced, then she was widowed, then, and the Kohen has relations with her, then ultimately he's Chayiv only once. Amar Mar, so the Gemara now says, Amana, 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 Enu Chayiv Ala Achos, Hay Amana Hechidam. So we'll say, what's the case? What's the case over here? Of Amana, 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 only Chayiv once. So, Ile, Mashaba, Ala Amana, Sruvain, Va'ala Amana, Shema, Va'ala Amana, Slevi, Mayenu Chayiv Ala Achos. So we'll say, if you want to say it's the case where the Kohen Gadol had relations with three different women. He had relations with the widow of Reuven, the widow of Shimon, and the widow of Levi. Then why is he only chayiv once? Amud Beis, Hare Gufin Mechulakin Hein, Shemos Mechulakin. Let's remember again, each of these women is a separate entity. Gufin Mechulakin means they're separate people. And furthermore, again, they have separate names. In other words, separate identities. So why would the Kohen not be liable for each of these, bios? Ela Sheba, Al Almana Achas Shalosh Bios. Rather, it must be that he had three acts of relations with one widow. So Hechidami. So we'll say, so what's the case? Idolo Asrube Pshita Deno Chayv Al Achas. See, if he only got Hasra, if he was only warned for one prohibited act, then it's obvious that he's only going to be Chayv once. Because most remember, you're only Chayv once if you got one Hasra. So the Gemara says, Pshita Deno Chayv Al Achas. So what happened? Before every single, rather it must be that before every bia, he was warned. Kohen Gadol, you understand that having relations with this woman who is an Amana is usur, is prohibited. And he still went ahead and he did it. If that's the case, enoch amai, enoch chayiv, ala achos. If that's the case, supposed that he received hasra before every single act, then what? Why is he only chayiv once? He should be chayiv for every single act. After all, the hatanan we learned, Nazir Shayash Shosian Kala Yom Kulo, if a Nazir was drinking wine the entire day, Eno Chayiv Ala Achos. Both say he's only Chayiv once. In other words, if a Nazir was drinking wine throughout the day, one continuous act, he's only Chayiv once for the one act, for one continuous act of drinking. However, Amru Lo, Al Tishta Vuhushosa, Chayiv Akol Achos Achos. Both say, if let's say they're telling the Nazir every single time he picks up the cup of wine, you're not allowed to drink that, and he still drinks it, he's chayiv for every single act, to which the Gemara says, so if that's the case, that the Kohen Gadol in this case is having relations with these, with even with the same woman, but he's receiving hasra, he's being warned that it's usur before every act of bia, then why would he not be chayiv for every single act? To which the Gemara says, lo tzricha, sheba al almanas Reuven, shahaisa almanas Shimon, shahaisa almanas Levi. So we'll say, what's the case over here? The particular woman in question is a three-time Amana. So she's, right, which I will say, by the way, interestingly enough, has a different halachic issue associated with it. Again, we spoke about this a little before, of a katlanis, I guess for lack of a better term, what they call a black widow. You know, the idea over here, you know, someone ultimately, again, who has this track record of having husbands die on them, you know, becomes a little bit suspicious. So, but we're not getting into that now. But the point over here is what? Is she goes ahead and She's the widow of Reuven, the widow of Shimon, and the widow of Levi. So now the Kohen Gadol has relations with her. Mahu detemo, oh, what I have thought. Hare shemos mechulakim. I would have thought Rabbi said that because she has this identity as what? As the widow of these three men, maybe she's treated like three different almanas. Because she has these three identities, maybe she's like three almanas, and therefore when he has relations with her, that Allah kalamaisa, again, he should be chayiv for each one. Kamash malan, gufim mechulakim ba'inan v'leka. Therefore, again, the Gemara teaches us that no, in order to be chayiv for every act, it has to be different women. That's the difference, women. But if it's one woman, even if she's a three-time widow with three different widow identities, when the Kohen Gadol has relations with her, he's only going to be chayiv once. Amana gusha v'chalala v'zona. So we'll say, let's analyze the next case. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if there's a woman who's an amana, a widow, a grusha, divorcee, a chalala, and the zona, so the Gemara says, then what? If it's in this order, he's chayiv for each of these designations. The Kohen Gadol will be chayiv for one bia. He'll be chayif having bia with an almana, a grusha, chalal, and a zona. So the Gemara says, "Hai tana mai kasavar." So what does the Tana hold? Ikasavar isplasir. Ikasavar iser chalal iser. So we'll say, if you hold that iser chalal iser, which means we'll say, this is a general discussion which we'll get into now. Once something is prohibited, could other prohibitions devolve upon that same object or not? So if the Tana holds that iser chalal iser, then Rabbi said, then the halacha should be ipchanami. Then ultimately, it shouldn't matter what order the woman acquired these various prohibited states in. In other words, whether she became an amana, a grusha, chalal, a zona in that case, or she became a zona, chalal, a grusha, amana, it doesn't make a difference. If you hold iser, chalal, iser, it means that as a woman enters these different states, these different levels of iser devolve upon her. On the other hand, v'ikasavar ein iser chalal iser, if however the Tana holds that one iser cannot devolve upon an already existing iser, then what? Afilu k'seder hazeh namilo. Then if that's the case, then even if she became prohibited in this order of amona, grusha, chalala, and zona, he should still not be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, hay Tana iser chalal iser lesle, iser mosif isle. Oh, listen, this is amazing. So this particular Tana does not subscribe to Isser Chalal Isser. So the Tana holds that once something is Asr, really additional Isurim cannot devolve upon the object, with one exception, what's called an Isser Mosif. Both an Isser Mosif means that if you have something is Asr, and then there's another Isser of greater intensity, that secondary greater Isser can devolve upon the already Asr item. So what does this mean in this case? So the Gemara says, Amana, watch this. So here we start with a woman who's an Amana. Right? So we're starting off, she's an almana, she's a widow. So we'll say, in her status as an almana, so asur le kohen gadol, b'shar le kohen hedyot. So we'll say, when she's an almana, she is asur to the kohen gadol, but she is permitted to a regular kohen. Therefore, what? Then what happens afterwards, we'll say? This, so just so you understand, this woman was an almana. So she's married to Reuven, Reuven dies, she becomes an almana. Then she marries Shimon. What happens? Shimon divorces her. She now becomes a grusha. So migo di itosif la isura legabi kohen hedyot, itosif la isura legabi kohen gadol. So we'll say, even if you hold in iser chalal iser, that one iser can't devolve upon another, but this Tana holds that iser mosif. If the second iser has greater reach than the first, then the second iser could devolve upon the first. So for example, in this case, when she was an almana, she was only prohibited to who? Only prohibited to a kohen gadol. Now she becomes a grusha, and as a grusha, who is she prohibited to? She's prohibited to all kohanim. That's called an iser mosif. Isser with greater reach. Therefore, again, that Isser now devolves upon her as well. Let's go weiter.
She has both of them or just that one?
Both of them. It adds on. So she has both of these statuses now. She's an Amana and a Grusha. So the Gemara says, now go on. He says, Vadayin Sharia Lamecha Batruma. But also, here's what's interesting. Now, despite the fact that she can't go ahead and marry a Kohen Gadol, marry a Kohen Hedyot, she is still permitted to eat Truma. Now, what does it mean she's permitted to eat Truma? Let's say she doesn't have children, and she is a Bas Kohen. She is permitted to go ahead and go back to her father's home and eat Truma. So the Gemara says, therefore, Habyala Chalala. Now if she becomes a Chalala, I'll say, remember, how does she become a Chalala? Very simple. She can become a Chalala by having relations with a Kohen. right? With, either with any kohen, because at this point in time she's not mara, she's a grusha. Now she becomes a halala. The rabbis say, but one second, can the iser halalos devolve upon her already existing amaros and grusha status? And the answer is yes. Why? Miga di itosif iser lamecha b'truma, because the rabbis say, again, remember, even if you hold ein iser halal iser, an iser mosif, an iser that brings with it additional prohibitions, could devolve. At becoming a halala prohibits something additional, namely what? Now she won't be able to go ahead and eat truma. So migud itosef isur lemechal b'truma. Now that there's an additional isur for eating truma, itosef isur legabe kohen gadol. Now she'll also become. Now there's also an additional isur legabe her marrying a kohen or a kohen gadol. Ella zona my shabosai. So now we understand how. Even if you hold ein iser, see if you hold iser halal iser, this whole thing is easy. It makes sense. One iser could devolve upon another. What the Gemara is just suggesting is that even if you hold ein iser halal iser, the way to construct this case is through an iser mosif. That even if you hold that normally one iser can devolve upon another, the exception to that rule is if the secondary iser has a greater reach than the first, then a secondary one could devolve upon the woman as well. So therefore, you see in this order, if she starts off as an almana, that's fine. She does her to the kohen gadol. Now she becomes a grusha, that could be added on because now she's asr to a kohen hedyot. Then she could become a halala because that asr is truma. Now we come to zona. What does zona add on? Ela zona mai isr mosif ispe. What additional piece does zona bring to the table? Amar Rav Chana bar Katina, hoil b'shem znus posel b'yisrael. Rav Chana, here's what's interesting. So becoming a zona does go ahead and add something else, which is what Rav Chana was saying, that when a woman has the designation of a zona, ultimately, again, that precludes her from marrying a Yisrael as well. So we'll say, so now what's interesting is the following. Therefore, the Isser Zona, or I should say the Shem Zona, could devolve upon her as well. And we'll say, remember, a woman gets the Shem Zona ultimately by having relations with someone whom she cannot effectively marry. So by having that designation, that will not really add anything on from the kahuna perspective, but it does ultimately go ahead and add some things vis-a-vis a Yisrael. Fine, so we'll say now you understand why the Bryce has said that it has to be in that order, because remember, if you'll Isser Chalal Isser, it doesn't matter the order which she acquires these designations, because they'll just pile up one on top of the other. If you hold Ein Isser Chalal Isser, the only way she could acquire all these titles is by being an Isser Mosif, and the only way for it to be an Isser Mosif is if she acquires it in this particular progression. Tani Tana Kami Rav Sheshes. So this teaching, this lesson was taught before Rav Sheshes. First wide line of us in Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Kol shehu beyikach, harihu below yikach. Kol she'eno beyikach, eno below yikach. So we'll say any situation, any woman who is in the parasha of yikach. And I will say, yikach is referring to the pasuk that says, v'hu isha, ki im besula me'amav yikach isha. Kohen Gadol can only marry a besula. So the Gemara suggests that any woman whom a Kohen Gadol is permitted to go ahead and marry when she is a besula, is subject to the prohibition of amana ugrusha halala zona lo yikach. In other words, the only woman whom a kohen will be prohibited from marrying as an amana or a grusha will be the type of woman whom he would have been permitted to marry if she was a besula. I'm about to say, now you'll see what does that mean for just a moment. So the Gemara says, prat le kohen gadol shaba ala chosa amana. Well, so this comes to exclude the following case. Let's say the Kohen Gadol has relations with his sister, who is an Amana. So Rabbi say, in this case over here, the Gemara suggests that what? That halacha lemaisa, he will be punished. Well, there's an Isser Kares for incest, but he will not receive Malkus for marrying an Amana. Right? I will say, why? Because the halacha is, you're only punished for marrying an Amana if she's the type of woman you could have married had she been a Besula. But if you couldn't have married her when she was a Besula, then you're not loke for being an Amana. In other words, so therefore, in this case, he obviously cannot have married his sister when she's a Besula. Therefore, if he marries her when she's an Amana, he gets punished. He gets punished for the act of incest. But there's not an additional prohibition because now he's married an Amana as well. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. No, because the kilim v'drabminei would have been to give him the mean. There's machlokes if kilim v'drabminei applies to kares or not. There's issue of kares not mises beis din. So amalei, so the gemara, amalei, the amar lecha money. Rabbi Shimon, he who's the opinion does this reflect? Is Rabbi Shimon the amar ein iser chalal iser? So both say this must be Rabbi Shimon who holds that ein iser chalal iser. Therefore, again, in this case over here, because remember this woman is already prohibited to the kohen gadol as what? As his sister. So this additional designation of amana does not devolve upon her. This time, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, well, this is a fascinating case. Ha'ocham nevela b'yom kippur in potter. Jose, this is the wild case. Somebody eats nevela, right? Somebody eats a cheeseburger on Yom Kippur. They're potter. They're potter. Now, Rabbi said, what does this mean, they're potter? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Potter mekares, delo asi yom isri yom kippurim umechala isri nevela. Dekadim in this navla me'erev Yom Kippur. So we'll say, according to this approach, if somebody ate a tarfo, somebody ate a cheeseburger on Yom Kippur, they're not chayiv kares for violation of Yom Kippur. Why? Because since the cheeseburger ultimately was already asur, the additional prohibition of Yom Kippur cannot devolve upon an already prohibited object. So mostly, which by the way, just as an aside, is a fascinating idea that it could very well be that if a person wants to eat on Yom Kippur and avoid kares, according to Rabbi Shimon, the way to do it is how? Eat treif. Now again, what you'll do is you'll be chayir for eating tarfos. You'll be chayir for eating tarfos, but you avoid the kares on Yom Kippur. As opposed to if you eat your quadruple hashkacha food on Yom Kippur, mamish should be chayiv kares for eating on Yom Kippur. Again, we don't accept this. Everybody's getting very excited. We do not accept this halacha lemaisa, but it's a fascinating derivative of this logic. To which the Gemara says, On the other hand, so Rabbi Shimon Amar Ochel Veb Yom Kippur Potter. Therefore, we'll say in this case over here, when the Kohen Gadol has relations with his sister who's an almana, he's not going to be chayiv for the almana piece. He'll only be chayiv for the sister piece. Why? Because ein iser chalal iser di rabbanon. Because if reflected the view of the rabbanon ha amri, they say iser chal al iser. The rabbis are the ones who say that one iser can devolve upon another iser. To which the Gemara says, "Afilu timur rabbanon." No, even the rabbanon would agree in this case. Ki ami rabbanon iser chalal iser. Because when do the rabbis say that one iser can devolve upon another? Hani mili iser chamar al iser kal. I will say, even the rabbis will agree that when we say iser chalal iser, that works. That's only if the second iser is more chamar than the first. About iser kal al iser chamar lo chayil. But Rabbi say a relatively lenient iser cannot devolve upon a more intense iser. So Rabbi say, so therefore, for example, in this case over here, where what? She's your sister, that she's a sister of the Kohen Gadol, and now she becomes an Ammana. Rabbi say the prohibition of a sister is more chumer than the prohibition of an Ammana, and therefore even the Rabbanon ultimately who say iser chalal iser will agree that in this case, if the Kohen Gadol has relations with her, he'll only be chayiv for incest, but not for the prohibition of having relations with an almana. Why? Because even iser chalal iser only goes when there is an upward progression in the isurim. Ikeda amri, others say, ha mani rabbanani. Whose opinion does this reflect? This is the rabbanan. The amri iser chalal iser, that the rabbis hold iser chalal iser. Vichi amri rabbanan iser chalal iser. And when do the rabbis say that iser chalal iser? That's only when hani mili iser chamer. That's only when the second iser is more chamer than the first. Aval iser kal al iser chomer lo chayil. But ultimately, again, I will say an iser kal on an iser chomer. If the secondary iser is more lenient than the first, then even the rabbanon will agree that what? That the secondary iser does not devolve upon the first. That's why in this case over here, of where the Kohen Gadol has relations with his sister who is an almana, ultimately everyone will agree, the Rabbanon will say that Lamaisi is chayiv for the act of incest, but not chayiv for having relations with an almana, because again, that secondary iser of almana does not devolve upon the iser of achoso of his sister, because the secondary iser is not as chomer as the first. The Rabbi Shimon, because if you want to say the best effects of Rabbi Shimon, hashta iser chamar al iser kal lo chayo. Well, remember, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that ein iser chalal iser. So Rabbi Shimon himself who holds that ein iser chalal iser, that's true, even if the secondary iser is more chamar than the first, still that secondary iser will not devolve upon the first. Iser kala iser chamar mi boy. Then ultimately, again, it goes without saying that iser kala, lesser iser, will not devolve upon the first more intense iser. To which the Gemara says, well, what's the havamina? Ma'od the tema, Isser kuhuna shayni. Well, maybe I would have thought that according to Rabbi Shimon, maybe the kuhuna is different. But so we've seen this concept that the kuhuna in general is treated with certain chumras above the rest of klal v'sos. So maybe again, maybe even Rabbi Shimon who holds that under normal circumstances, ein isser chal al isser. Even if the secondary isser is more chumr than the first, maybe he'll make an exception in this case because ultimately, again, of the kuhuna. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon that he will not make an exception, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, ultimately, again, the coin will not be in violation of having relations with the Amona when the woman in question ultimately is his sister. So says the Gemara, just go a little bit weiter. So Amrle, Rapapa Abaye, Yisrael Habala Choso, Zona Mashvila, Chalona Mashvila, Olo Mashla. So we'll say, here's the question. If Yisrael has relations with his sister, so we know that that act of relations makes her a zona. But say, when we say zona, that means legabi the kahuna, a kohen would not be permitted to marry this woman. Because remember again, the designation of zona comes from any act of bia, that cannot affect marriage. So if Yisrael has relations with his sister, I understand that he makes her a zona. Does he make her a chalala as well? So the Gemara says, "Mi amrinan kavachor mechay ve'lavin havia chalala." So do we say on one hand, I can make a kavachomer. So what's the kavachomer? But say if chay ve'lavin, meaning if bia that is prohibited by a lav produces a chalala, so it goes without saying, mechay ve'krisus l'kol shekin, then all the more so what if as a result of a relationship that's partial by karis, it should certainly create chalalos. Odilma. Ein chalala elam yisr kuna. Or we'll say the other side is what? Then no, there's only one way to create a chalala, and that's how? That's from a forbidden Kohanic union. Meaning chalalos cannot be produced by Yisraelim. So which one is it? We'll say, Amrlei, ein yisr chalala elam yisr kuna bilvad. To which the Gemara answers, chalalos could only be created from an yisr kuna and not from Yisrael. So we'll say, again, if Yisrael has relations with his sister, that makes her into a zona. But at the end of the day, does not create chalalos. This is going back to what we learned in Amud Aleph. The only way to create chalalos is how? Is ultimately, again, through a forbidden Kohanic union. That produces chalalos. Yisrael does not produce chalalos. So we'll stop over here for today. I'm just going to share with you a short idea on the parasha. So the pasuk says,